Alaska owns a massive investment account right now. It's worth more than $63 billion. And lately, it has been growing rapidly. Over the last 10 years, it has more than doubled in size. In the first of a two-part series from Alaska's Energy Desk, Rasha McChesney heads over to the Permanent Fund Corporation to find out how that growth happened and how long they expect it to last.
I'm at the Permanent Fund Corporation for a meeting with its chief executive officer, Angelo Rodell.
Hi, Angelo.
I really wanted to spend a lot of time talking to some of the people who manage these portfolios full of investments for the Permanent Fund, and we'll get to that later. But right now, I just want to find out how the fund did in 2017. And Rodell can rattle off some pretty impressive numbers.
We're up 12.5%. We made $7 billion.
I think right after that last big global financial crisis in 2008, Alaska's sovereign wealth fund had about $25 billion in it. And today, they're sitting on $63 billion. It doubled in size in less than a decade. And when I ask Rodell how that happened, she gives two answers. The first, money grows money. The more you have, the more you make. And second, well, to answer that, we have to go way back to 1976. That was the year Alaskans decided they wanted to put away some of their oil wealth. Bob Maynard was a young oil and gas attorney with the state, working on the legal language that would eventually create the Permanent Fund. That language sticks out for him, because when I called him to talk about his decades with the Permanent Fund, it's one of the first things he tells me. His big contribution?
At one point, someone had put in an Oxford comma, and I think I successfully argued to take it out.
For all you grammarians out there, Maynard says he's actually a fan of the Oxford comma. He just doesn't like to see it misused. So when the fund was first created, the state kept it on a tight leash. Fund managers were only allowed to invest in things that were specifically written into state statute. And that list of things was short, real short.
Bonds, treasury bonds, and that was it.
They're the type of thing my grandmother would probably invest in. Hi, Betty. Rodell says there's nothing wrong with them, but with low risk comes low reward. Over time, the state loosened up the restrictions on investing the Permanent Fund. First, managers were allowed to invest in stocks. Next, they were allowed to invest outside the U.S. Maynard says there was this slow opening up to the market.
Essentially, you're investing with some hands partly tied behind your back.
Each time something new was added to that list, the fund took on more complex projects. Then, in 2005, the legislature finally got rid of the list, and they replaced it with a mandate to invest responsibly. And this is the moment Rodell points to as key to the fund's explosive growth. Finally, investment managers were able to dig into some investments that were riskier, but came with greater rewards. And now, the fund that grew from Alaska's oil wealth is everywhere. Stocks, bonds, real estate, hedge funds, infrastructure. It has also showered money on biotech companies doing cutting-edge drug and cancer research. And with each new deal, investors have to become experts in each type of investment. This complex investment strategy, this is why I called Bob Maynard. He spent decades with the Permanent Fund. Now, he's the chief investment officer at Idaho's Public Employee Retirement System. And he says, so far, Alaska's Permanent Fund investment managers are holding their own.
And they're keeping up with the competition. They're in the pack of large multi-billion dollar institutions, and that's a pretty fast pack.
But in the long run, he wonders if the benefits of a complex investment strategy are worth the potential downsides. And he isn't just talking about the Permanent Fund Corporation, because what they're doing is pretty standard.
You got to realize, I tend to be a curmudgeon in the industry on the side, and that's why I'm reluctant the benefits of complexity have yet to be fully proven, put it that way.
The idea is that the more complex an investment strategy gets, the more moving parts, the more likely it is that something could go wrong. And it's not as if Maynard is the only one thinking about this. Lawmakers and permanent fund managers have been talking about this for decades. But looking beyond how the fund should be invested, Maynard says there are some built-in stumbling blocks in just being a state-owned fund.
But just to keep up with the pack, you've got to be able to have the resources, the knowledge sources, and the internal expertise. And then if you have to continually refresh that expertise because people keep leaving, at some point, you may stumble on that.
There has been a lot of turnover at the corporation in the last decade. Maynard says that kind of brain drain can make it difficult to maintain a complex strategy. Also, all of those investment managers are state employees, and Alaska's in a recession. That means cost cutting, de facto hiring freezes and travel bans, and they have state employees' salaries. Some estimates are that the Permanent Fund Corporation employees are paid about a quarter of what people in their same positions make in the rest of the country. There's one final risk to talk about, and it's a big one on Angela Rodell's mind. In fact, a lot of people who watch the market are talking about it.
So there's the nervousness that happens when you're hitting day after day record values. When is this going to go wrong?
The U.S. has been in this period of steady economic growth. Analysts call it a bull market, and that bull has been running for a long time. Nearly 9 years. It's the second longest run in history. And that's when people like Rodell start worrying.
What are your maybe sort of worst case scenarios or even just sort of things that could go wrong with your current strategy?
That this robust market that we've all been watching for a while now is going to have an event like the tech bubble or the housing bubble or...
That correction could be incredibly painful for Alaska's bottom line. The last time the housing bubble popped, the country slid into a recession and the fund took a big hit. If the same thing happened again, the fund could lose more than a third of its value. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rasha McChesney in Juneau.
This is the first of a two-part series. Tomorrow, we'll hear from the people who decide what projects are worthy of investment.